yo. Turn me up on the headphones. Get it, bitch. Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ford, and always ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by Pax Inc. That's PACCSINC. And Pax Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way, you can learn about the codes of conduct, more about the organization, how to become a member, how you can donate to the organization, how you can get involved, hover your mouse over the More tab. You see the Learning Center, the store pop up. Click on the Learning Center. You see all the things that they got. So www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our wonderful Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can learn more about myself, Patrick, all of our other host for our other podcasts, as well as learn more about the other podcasts and subscribe to them. Remember, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, everything except Twitter as Freedom Train Network. On Twitter, we're Freedom Train Net. So, holla at the player when you see us in the streets. You hear me? Pat.
Well,
it's homecoming, Pat.
For you?
It's homecoming, Pat. And I ain't doing nothing. I stayed my ass at home.
Well, homecoming is, ain't that like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday thing? Or is it just Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It depends on you as the individual, how you party. So, you know, I played with the cats in the backyard the whole weekend. Nah, we get down. You hear me?
Nah, I don't know how
you. I'm keep saying you hear me all day because I don't know why. I just, you hear me? I feel like I'm from New Orleans.
Blame Julie. There go Julie.
You hear me? That's it. That's all you got to say. You don't need to say it. Nothing that you hear me? And there it is. Man, hey, man, it's been a little minute since we had a little discussion, since we had a chance to talk, man. How you been up to, man?
Same old same, bro. You know, Pat's got this congressional report card that we're getting ready to put out. So, been working on that, you know, working on my books and my other little things, my shows, and, you know, been doing what I do. Same old same. Ain't nothing changed for the name of the day. Hey!
Hey, my bad.
Not
but yeah, man, I know on my end, I got this book coming out, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, and it's being edited. I got my cover done, so just waiting on the editing so I can do a little more editing, then a little more editing, then it dropped. Then it's a best-selling book. I'm a best-selling author, and my life takes off from there.
You know
what it's going to be? That's what it is. I just put it out there in the atmosphere. I'm claiming I'm a best-selling author. I'm a world-renowned lecturer and author. So y'all better buy my book, too. If y'all don't buy my book, I'm coming to your high.
You hear me?
You hear me? I'm coming to your high and come through your blinds and mess your blinds up and knock your candles off your table.
Who still got candles on their table?
I don't know, man.
If you got candles on your table and you ain't finna have sex and the power ain't out, you're weird.
Some people look like light just like candles, though. They don't like the fluorescent light like you do. Oh, fluorescent light like an ass.
I ain't saying they wrong. I just said they weird.
Oh, weird, eh? Candlelight like an ass.
You know. I ain't saying there's nothing wrong or bad about it. It's just weird.
Hey, man. You know
I mean, you know what, though? We keep, we don't keep, but we got candles in the house. They the scented ones that make your house smell better. You know, you got three boys and a dog. Your house tend to smell like shit and ass cheeks. So you got to keep you know, you gotta
just go around. Keep should keep a bucket of soap water and just go around throwing it on people.
Yeah, that only works if you get rinsed off, though. Otherwise, it just become old, dirty, nauseating, nasty soap smell.
You getting splashed if you don't want to wash your ass. You get splashed. So,
what we got, homie?
That's how I felt about it. Kavanaugh, Cosby, and Kanye. Since we...
Jeez. Even though
since we... I know, right? Since last time we had a social discussion, you know, they're going through the thing with Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh has been confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. He's been sworn in. Cosby got 3-10. And Kanye still out here being a fuckboy.
So. Hey, man, Kanye gonna make it do what it do. Y'all better get off Kanye. Kanye.
They better stop bullying him and trying to get him to take off his MAGA hat.
Right. Trying to get
him. Because he see the future. Kanye is a visionary with his eyes closed. So,
you're blind, bitch.
Hey, you ever, one thing I know we're gonna get back on Kanye a little later, but one thing you ever noticed is people are always insisting that the oppressed people respond to their oppressors with love. What the fuck is up with that? Explain that to me. Like, why does the oppressed have to always respond to the oppressors with love when the oppressors dictate or their initial actions is hate and destruction and domination? So how the fuck is love the best move to make because of that?
You know, that's the whole ideology. You know, people believe that if I show you that I love you, then eventually it'll get harder and harder for you to hate me because my love will overpower your hate. But the underlying
that shit hasn't worked.
It doesn't, because, you know, for that to work, for starters, a person has to view you as an equal of sorts.
Right.
If somebody thinks that they're better than you, you loving them, especially in the face of them hating them, does nothing but reinforce that belief. You love me because I'm entitled to it, because you know I'm better than you.
Right. But it's and it's people like Kanye, like dumbasses like Kanye and other people. First thing they do, they quote Dr. King. Hey, man, look, no disrespect to Dr. King, but just because he said something don't mean we got to rock with it. And just because he said something don't mean he was right.
That's the part right there.
Because even Dr. King realized that me telling my people to respond to hate with love has led them into a burning building. My people keep getting fucked up. And then nobody ever asked the oppressors to operate out of love. They always asking the oppressed, show me one place and one time in history where the oppressed responded to the oppressors with love and things became equal.
You know, what you said, though, is important, because that's the piece that's, again, to quote you, just because he said it don't mean he was right.
Right.
Like, a lot of people said a lot of things. You know, that don't mean that, you know, at one point, there were a lot of people saying that black people were innately inferior to white people. We all acknowledge that that's not true.
Right.
So, you know.
And Dr. King said, everybody keep doing that. And Dr. King is so? Jimmy from down the street got quotes too, but I don't see you quoting that.
Right. And it ain't, but, you know, it definitely ain't the shit on Dr. King, because you know our people are, the moment you say you disagree or whatever, you being disagreeing.
Man, people, hey, look. Look, people, shut the fuck up with that. You don't have to agree with everything. Just because somebody like Dr. King says something don't mean you have to agree with it. He was a man, regular person, just like everybody else. Shut the fuck up. Just because you got some kind of goddamn celebrity complex, shut the fuck up with that. I know I probably should have been nicer, but fuck that. It's time for us to get kicked in the ass. keep between the eyes and wake the hell up, man.
Nah, man, I'm with you. I'm with you. I do think you know, obviously, I think you still got to make sure you take care about the way you say things, but I'm definitely with you in terms of just because he said it don't mean it's true, and just because he said it don't mean we have to accept it. I don't accept a lot of things that he said.
But he also, but my thing is, why do they keep quoting him on things that he said as he was younger, but never follow up with other type of quotes? Because, yes, he said operate out of love, but he also realized that teaching his people to try to love somebody who was oppressing them was the bad thing. How come nobody ever says that?
Well, what's interesting to me, well, and we know they give us this sanitized version of Dr. King, and they never get into the latter half of his life. But to me, what's interesting even still is nobody ever provides an accurate definition of the word love. You know what I'm saying? Like, where is that? You know, define to me what love is, because from my estimation, if your friend is being a dick to your kids or to their kids or to somebody else, showing them love would be to be harsh with your friends so that they see the error of their ways. Like, in some situations, Joe, you're my friend. In some situations, showing you love would be telling you, Joe, man, you fucking up. And if you keep fucking up, showing you further love might be a physical altercation. There are right. various different ways that you could show love. Showing love ultimately seems to boil down to showing care and concern for somebody. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. And not all of those ways are nice or agreeable or tolerable or any of those other words. So why is it that whenever we're talking about defeat hate with love, like, we're not really talking about, like, fierce love or confrontational love or defensive love or protectionistic love? We're always talking about docile or submission or easygoing, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to accept their intolerance type love. Like, so to me, that's always been kind of an imbalance as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then. Yeah, but one more thing before we get into Kavanaugh, because I want to go Kavanaugh, Cosby, then Kanye. But voting, and all these places, all these different states, all these things. Look, black people. We've said it over and over and over. We know y'all not listening to us. We know, but say it anyway. Voting, when it comes to voting, stop voting for black people just because you like them. Don't on one hand say all skin folk ain't kin folk, then ignore that when it comes to voting, because that person is black, went to FAMU. So I'm like, I mean, you know, I'm being, yeah. I'm just saying, man. We never vote in our interest. We vote in our pleasure. Put it like that, if that makes sense.
We vote based on color. And I know we get mad when white folk attack us or speculate that we do that. And we do.
But that's how we vote. We vote for whoever's Democrat. We vote for whoever Democrat and whoever make us feel good.
So, and right, and that's another point. I said we vote based on color. That color ain't, you know, the most important color is red or blue. We vote blue, period. But if that blue is black, we'll vote them too. So, but right. Even if the blue comes before the black, but because, you know, you'll vote, black people will vote for a white Democrat before they vote for a black Republican.
Right.
But, you know, we vote based on color, and we need to start voting based on policy.
Hey, man, look. All right, fuck it. I'm going to just say this. Look, and y'all going to be mad at me, but I don't give a shit. Like, I was having a conversation with a young lady a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how I'm frustrated that black politicians never... Well, you have a minority of black politicians who will come out and specifically say that they're fighting for black people. When I have a conversation with a black person who tells me that it's not a good idea for a black politician to come out and say that they're fighting specifically for black people, but you don't have a problem with this politician fighting for Puerto Ricans, immigrants, other motherfuckers, Israel. And it's like, what kind of cowards are we? What kind of, like, our heart has been taken. If it's okay for our politicians to fight for other specific groups of people, but not for the specific group of people that they belong to, like, what the fuck are we doing out here? We all cowards. How the hell did we get to a point where we created an environment to where black politicians know that if I come out and say that I'm fighting specifically for black people, it's over for them? And we've allowed that shit to happen. Can't really be too mad at the politicians because we've allowed that shit to happen. We created an environment where they know that it's suicide to fight for their damn people. What the hell? Black people, it's your fucking fault. It's our fucking fault. You fucked up. But you got what? Like, we got to fix that. Like, we some coward ass people, man.
I would disagree with you on one point. I don't think that anybody knows that it's a bad thing to fight for black people. I think it's become like an accepted norm without really being challenged. And I know we can go back to examples, but I've looked at most of the examples of black politicians that had a pro-black campaign. And the problem with those campaigns was that they were shitty everywhere else. They had a pro-black component to them that made them positive for our community. But even in what they espouse for our community, it wasn't necessarily going to fix anything. It wasn't going to solve anything. In other words, outside of them being pro-black, the rest of the campaign was shitty. So we've never seen a political candidate come through on some pro-black shit that had a put together policies and initiatives on everything across the spectrum and at the same time be pro-black. We've never seen that candidate, and that's because we run around saying, well, you know, if you pro-black, you ain't gonna get no white votes. That's why
I say it's our fault. We've created these environments. We're too afraid. Like we haven't done enough as black people. Like we don't really love our blackness outside of just posting on social media, and we know we don't. We be bullshitting, but for the most part, majority of black people outside of posting on social media, they don't love their blackness, because if you love your blackness, you would live in it. It would be a part of everything that's about you. You wouldn't, when you get around white people, you wouldn't be afraid to talk black, to be black. You wouldn't have to rub the palm of your hand when you're talking about white people, or rub the back of your hand when you're talking about black people. We've got to a point where we're afraid to exist as who we are. I'm in social media earlier, I was looking at a story about an all-Asian barbershop that opened up in a hood that won't hire any black people. And black people still go there to get their haircuts. Like it's a place here in Tallahassee called Hollywood Nails that they've been boycotting. You got a group of people boycotting, but black people still shopping at the goddamn store. We don't give a shit about what happens to us.
You know, what's interesting is that even in that, I've been paying attention over the last few months on social media. What black people love about being black are essentially the same things that white people love about black people. The rhythm, the culture of being able to dance, the appearance of aggression. And what's interesting is, even when it comes to physical appearance, black people love black bodies, but they seem to hate black faces. So, you know, like you look at a lot of, and I'm not talking about, I know there are exceptions to every rule, let me say that before the people come out or whatever, but you just, when you sit back and look at it, everybody loves a black woman's figure. They love the curves. They love the thighs, the booty, the hips. They love all of that. But they want a white face sitting on top of the neck. So they want the, you know what I'm saying? They want certain features. And it's real interesting to me how that dynamic works. You know, like we love, and that goes back to what you were saying earlier about black people not, you know, we don't really love being black. We love certain components of it.
Right. We don't really love
it. Really love it the way we should.
Right. Like when you,
what I've noticed,
when you have somebody tell you that you too black, when somebody tells you that you are too black, because your blackness is making white people feel uncomfortable and them feel uncomfortable around white people, that's crazy. That's how you know black. That's how you know we're to a point where black people not liking themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know Kavanaugh, start with Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh. I know you've been following Kavanaugh close. So,
yeah,
for those, I'm just going to say, for those who don't know, give them a brief summary of what's been happening leading up to the Kavanaugh thing and then afterwards.
So, a brief summary. So, Brett Kavanaugh, and I'm going to give this brief overview of his political career as well, because I've seen a lot of lies going around. Brett Kavanaugh is bad enough as he is. You don't have to make him worse. Okay, so I won't say that because I've seen a lot of things going around that are simply untrue. So, Brett Kavanaugh graduated from Georgetown Prep, all-male boys school, all-boys school, preparatory high school. Then he went to Yale University where he got his law degree, graduated from that in the 80s. And he stopped being a clerk in 1994. Now, after he stopped being a clerk, he was never a trial judge. So there's a meme going around that says Brett Kavanaugh has never done a courtroom, blah, 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 in his life. But the second part of that meme says, but he was promoted straight from a clerk to a judgeship. That's not true. He was never a trial lawyer, but he did his last clerkship in 1994. He didn't become a judge until the 2000s. So in between that time, he was involved in various legal teams, various fields where he contributed his legal arguments to various other things. He was a part of the Republican establishment, and he worked in the George Bush White House. He's a part of the Clinton, this whole Republican narrative to destroy the Clintons. He was very active in that, which is why when he got pressed during the hearings, he brought up the Clinton revenge from the Clintons and blah, blah, blah. So this is a man who, although he's not been a trial judge, he does have legal experience outside of being a clerkship. And being a lawyer is a lot broader than just presenting cases in the courtroom. Now, with that being said, they tried to make him a judge. I think it was for about 6 years. And His appointment always got knocked back by the Democrats in the Senate, especially during the Bush years, because they said he didn't have a proper temperament. At that time, the American Bar Association also wasn't 100% supportive of Judge Kavanaugh because had some issues about his bias and things of that nature.
I guess we learned about his temperament.
Yeah. He eventually got forced through by the Republicans. And he's been a judge for the last 12 years. Now, during his time as a judge, the American Bar Association did upgrade their rating of him. They said he's been a lot more partial and a lot more balanced than he came across before he became a judge. So he repaired some things. But then you get to the point of this hearing. Now, the hearing started out controversially because the man he's been a part of the conservative political movement for a long time, and the man did a lot of work in the Bush administration, in the Bush White House. Democrats were requesting all of the information, all of the documents and everything concerning Kavanaugh be released for review. We're talking about millions and millions of pages of documents, or hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, over a million. Only 10% of those documents, less than 10% of those documents were released. So they already started out with a handicap there. So, you know, we moved forward. We saw all that. Then when it looks like he's about to get confirmed, boom, he gets hit with the sexual assault allegations. Now, for those of you saying this is too coincidental, you're missing the whole point. The lady actively said if he was not about to become nominated or appointed to the highest court in America, she would not have come forward. And I, for one, think that that is a great reason to come forward. It's one thing if a motherfucker's just living their life and blah, blah, blah. It's another thing when a person is getting ready to be put in a position of lifetime power over the entire country. If there was ever a moment for you to put yourself aside and come forward, that's the fucking moment to do so. So she came forward. Some other people came forward. And I'm pretty sure from that point forward, everybody followed along. Now, he got confirmed, like Joseph said, yesterday. They had the vote. He got confirmed along party lines. There was one Republican senator, female, who decided to vote not present. And before we give her all the praise in the world, she needs to be slapped along with the rest of the women that voted in favor of Kavanaugh. Because the only reason she didn't support Kavanaugh, but she didn't want to vote against Kavanaugh either. So instead of voting against him, she voted present but not voting, which is essentially the same thing as voting for him.
She's soft as fuck. So, I mean, sit your fake ass down, lady.
So she did that for two reasons. One, she didn't want to go against her party. And two, since 1881, every Supreme Court justice that's gotten through the Senate has gotten through with at least two or more votes. At least two or more votes differential between the yeses and the noes. If she had voted no, Kavanaugh would have been the first Supreme Court justice since 1881 to only get by with a one-vote margin. And the Republicans didn't want to do that. So you have this woman who actively doesn't support him, but instead of doing her civic duty and voting no, she voted not present, which we'll talk about that. You know, she sided with white supremacy over women. And then, of course, you had I think it was one or two Democrats that actually voted yes as well. I think one of them was Steve Mnuchin, I believe. But anyways, so he got through, and now he's on the Supreme Court. Supreme Court appointments are for life. Black people should be concerned because Brett Kavanaugh has openly said in his letters and documents that have been released that he is a candidate that does not believe in using the government to repair institutionalized problems such as racism, meaning that the Supreme Court is now extremely unfriendly to any government solutions to racism, white supremacy. And I know a lot of you would say, well, they always been unfriendly. Yeah, but we still got we still got affirmative action pushed through. We still got school integration pushed through. We got a lot of things pushed through and a lot of things held up. Dred Scott decision was overturned. You know, the Supreme Court, for as conservative as it has been, could have been a lot worse than it has been. And I think we would do ourselves a disservice if we write off the court being as conservative as it is now by simply saying the courts ain't never been an ally to black people. That's true. The courts have never been an ally of black people. But it could be a lot worse than it has been. And if this dude get in and start repealing a lot of civil rights protections, women are worried about Roe v. Wade and the ability to control their own bodies. You start having a lot of these civic protections rolled back, and then you start having a lot of these same civic protections being given to white people that shouldn't have them, a.k.a. cops. You get mad at me if you want. You shouldn't have civil rights protections for being a cop. Fuck you. You're going to see things start to get a whole lot worse. So that's the Brett Kavanaugh situation, I think. Did I sum that up? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, I mean, black folk, this is America being America. Not too much is changing. Don't let the 8 years under Obama fool you. This is America. Like, welcome back. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, but welcome back. Like, I know you probably thought you was gone, but welcome back. This is the America that we exist in. So the thing for us is, how do we help ourselves? And like a brief conversation we was having last night in the group chat, it's like, you want to come up with solutions, but it's like, well, shit. But at the same time, you don't want to get to the point where you cynical about everything, because it's not that just you feel like people aren't listening. Our people aren't getting it. So that's why this can become worse, especially if people continue to not get what's going on. Because basically what happened is one sexual predator went to bat, well, a whole bunch of sexual predators went to bat for another sexual predator to make sure that sexual predator be on the Supreme Court. So, and if a white woman can't stop this dude, we don't have no chance. So.
Yeah, the way this thing has unfolded has just been, it's been just that, you know, white men and white women have all pretty much agreed that Brett Kavanaugh was going to become a Supreme Court justice, despite his antics, despite the fact that I think we can all acknowledge this dude should not be on this. He shouldn't be on anybody's court, because one, he proved that he's temperamental. And the other component of that is he proved that he's not bipartisan. So you got a temperamental, temperamental partisan person shouldn't be judging anybody's court case in any courtroom, period.
Yeah, because this whole thing turned into a red versus blue thing, and it wasn't a sexual assault case. It was Democrats trying to do this so they can get somebody in who they won't like. But like you were saying in some of the other things in the post, it's not like Kavanaugh's the only motherfucker who could do that job. So they specifically want him for a reason.
Right. And that's been the issue that a lot of people are speculating on, is that reason is to overturn Roe v. Wade and make abortions illegal. If you listen to his testimony, he doesn't give the appearance that he's going to do that, because he kept talking about precedents. And Roe v. Wade has been confirmed. It happened. It's been reaffirmed 2 or 3 times. The precedent has been stamped. Roe v. Wade in this light should be permanent, because there have been 3 different Supreme Courts that have all ruled on it, and all 3 of them have said this is the law. But, you know, that to me, there has to be something else going on with Kavanaugh, because, like, they've been pushing this dude since the early 2000s. What's going on with this guy? What makes this guy so special? Like, yeah. They've literally been put, like, they had to force him through as a judge.
Yeah.
Why is he so, you know what I'm saying? Like, out of all of the judges, out of all of the potentials, out of all of the people out there that could potentially be a judge,
they fighting hard for Buddy.
Why are you fighting for him? And now he goes through as a judge. He's only been a judge for 12 years. And I know a lot of people like only, but yeah, he's only been a judge for 12 years. Why are they fighting so hard to make him a Supreme Court justice now? If you look at Donald Trump's initial list, the initial list that he got from the nonprofit that he was going to choose his judges from, Brett Kavanaugh's name wasn't even on it. So why was he added? They added 2 names. One of them was his. And The woman actually said, if you listen to her testimony, she actually said she tried to come forward the moment she saw that his name was on the list. Nobody was just listening to her until he got to the confirmation hearing. So, I don't know. The whole thing is just, with like, why him? What makes him so special? It's got to be more than just his views on abortion and human rights. It's got to be something else. What else is it? You know, like, whose dick did he suck? Whose pussy did he suck?
Like, who did he suck? Like, either they owe him or they got some kind of plan with him.
Right. I mean, even looking at his wife, I've been looking at his testimony with regards to the Christine Blasey Ford thing. His wife did not look like, did you see his wife's face sitting behind him?
Yeah.
That wasn't the face of a woman who was upset or she looked like she was disgusted with her husband.
Yeah, I saw that. So, I mean,
what's going on?
But once again, white women coming to the forefront defending this jackass, which goes back to what I've been saying for a while. This whole sexual and domestic violence thing, yes, men are the majority of the perpetrators, but it's so many women who play parts in creating these environments and maintaining this culture. Like, these women don't fucking get it until it happens to them. And it's like that. It's wild how many women, like, this is a sexual assault case. Like, you got the two dumbass, fat ass black women, Diamond and Fucked Up. Diamond and the two pussy eating women. And they are campaigning for black people to accept this mess. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, women, like, it's a lot of women out here fucking up that ain't nobody talking about. And it's time for them to get called out. Like, it's a lot of women out here fucking up. Like, there's no way Kavanaugh should be getting any support. And then it's like, they're trying to say Dr. Ford is like Trump went on. Trump is a bitch too, man. First you say she sound credible. Then you come back a couple of days later talking about she a lie. Like, bro, do you realize you be on camera just capping? Like, dude say he ain't say it, and they run it back. And it's like, there it is. But it's just like, I don't know, man. It's pieces to the puzzle, and we need to pay attention. But a great counter to that is something that we refuse to do, and that's organize and work together, though.
Yeah, because one of the things that we have to understand is that, one, Republicans, conservatives, have had a plan in motion since the 70s. And I said this a little bit during my last show on Lessons from the Screen. They've had a plan since the 70s, since Roe v. Wade. They've had a plan, and they've been working it. And their plan has been to get power and maintain power, and they've been successful. Right now, they own every single level of government. They own 30 plus of the 50 mayors in the 50 governors in the 50 states, so they own most of the state legislation. They own Congress, both houses. They own the White House. They own the Supreme Court. They own all three branches of government in both phases. This did not just happen by accident.
Right. It's strategic.
Right. This was planned out, and they've been working their plan while the Democrats have largely been reacting to their plan. But what we need to understand as a people is not only the importance of planning, but also there is no such thing as a permanent appointment in American government. Everybody can be removed, including Supreme Court justices. Now, one of the things that the Republicans have been counting on is voter apathy and disenfranchisement. When people feel like they don't have a voice, they stop talking. And that's what they're counting on. Judge Kavanaugh has been pushed through, And now they're counting on people just moving forward and not worrying about it. And largely, they've been right to count on that. You see what happened when they denied President Obama his Supreme Court pick? Flat out denied it. Didn't even attempt to hide it. Just denied it for a year. 2016 happened. There was a new election. And all of a sudden, Democrats forgot all about it. You don't even hear about Merrick Garland anymore. You don't even hear about the pick being stolen. Like nobody talked, it's gone. So now that Brett Kavanaugh has been pushed through, you aren't even going to hear about it. You're like, people are going to be upset for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're going to get over it. They'll get silent. But what I think is interesting is the conservative movement, I think, is not really caring about how the government actually gets its power. The government doesn't have intrinsic power. The fact that the majority of people agree and acquiesce to governmental authority is what gives government its power. If the majority of the country is liberal, and it is, then the moment that all of these liberals get together and decide to put their middle fingers up to the Supreme Court and say, fuck the Supreme Court loses its power. All of it, period. And I think they're playing with fire in that regard. But the sad part about that is, even if it happens, it won't be because of black people. It'll be because of liberal white. And we're still going to be in the same position with liberal whites in charge, in my opinion. So you're right. We need to plan. We need to get organized. We need to get activated.
I mean, because it's like you're saying on that. I mean, but if they're, you know, if the Republicans are putting people in strategic places, and they have been doing that for a while. Liberals can get mad all they want to, and they can group up, but they still have a disadvantage because you allowed them to gain what they needed to gain some type of power and footing. So it's kind of, but you know, people are still being short-sighted.
Right. That's the part that bothers me. We see things happening, and we don't think down the line. What's the long-term goal of this? A lot of people wasn't even thinking about the fact that President Trump would have 2 Supreme Court nominations within his first 2 years. Republicans did. You know, and this is something that I was reading about even before Trump won. The only reason Justice Kennedy didn't retire during the Obama years was because he didn't want Obama to have a chance to fill his seat with a liberal. When Trump got elected, the Republicans knew that they were going to get the one seat that they stole from Obama, and they knew that they would at least get a second seat within his first 2 years while they still had the congressional power to move it. They knew he would get a second seat. And so Justice Kennedy, surprise, surprise, retired. Like, this is a long game. Think about the long-term plan of it. Think about. And we don't think that way. We see things happening, and we're like, well, why are they doing this? This is so short-sighted, blah, 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 blah. Like, nobody's even thinking about the fact that this was all set up in the 70s and 80s. People like Bob Dole, that we like to laugh at, and blah, 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 blah. Bob Dole was one of the front runners, one of the political masterminds behind what we're currently seeing, setting things in motion back in the 80s and 90s. Come on, people. Yeah. It's a long-term game.
Man, but our people specifically, our people, we don't have any long-term vision because we still trying to have fun and be entertained and live our best life. But I keep telling people, you know how great we could live if we got our shit together? Like, if we actually got our shit together, you know how much, how that would greatly improve the quality of our lives? But it would be nothing for people to live their best life. It would be nothing for black people to have fun and celebrate. It would make the celebration better if we got our shit together. But you know.
But you know, one more thing about this Kavanaugh nomination, beyond just his stance on governments helping to right the wrongs that they've caused, Brett Kavanaugh also is not a fan he's a fan of corporate sponsorship. So the idea that you can overturn Citizens United, done. Corporations are going to continue to be able to flood money into politics. He's also not a fan of environmental regulation or regulation of any sort. Now, black people, this is something that we really need to start paying attention to, is environmental regulation. Our communities have been environmental war zones for decades. That's one of the reasons why black kids are underperforming or doing so bad, is because we're growing up in toxic environments with toxic chemicals that are affecting our brain development and cognitive abilities. And eventually that becomes permanent, or at least permanent to the point of it's going to take a substantial amount of work and effort to reverse the damage. The EPA, people aren't paying attention to what Trump is doing to the EPA, but the Environmental Protection Agency has been systematically dismantling itself with Trump's appointment of the guy that's heading the EPA. There are a lot of lawsuits going to the Supreme Court concerning what the EPA is doing. And Brett Kavanaugh is somebody that's going to have a tremendous amount of power to throw those lawsuits out. The EPA just recently said that it's going to raise the tolerance levels for what's acceptable in terms of radiation. Effectively saying what we used to think was bad radiation, it's not really bad. Your body can handle that. We're talking about radiation. And guess which communities are disproportionately affected by all of these negative toxins and chemicals and things in the air? Us. So you can feel however you want to feel about the EPA. They have been doing somewhat of a job of keeping our communities from being utter chemical dumps. That might be changing with this nomination.
Our communities have been waste, like environments for waste, from external and internal force. Because it's like, you know, when you walk through the hood and you just see people just throwing shit on the ground, like that's the trash, and then it's like a pile of trash. And so it's external and internal forces. So shout out to the homie Bruce Strobel for being environmentally conscious and trying to work his best to get people, at least get black people, to pay attention to the hazards in the environment that we deal with on a regular basis, aka Flint and all the other places and stuff. But you know, all right. But to keep this thing moving, man, Billy C. William H. Cosby then got 3 to 10 for his sexual assault allegations and things, and a lot of people are mad that Cosby is locked up. And now, let me put it in context. They're not mad that Cosby is locked up because they feel he didn't do anything. Well, some people are. But the main thing is, people are mad, especially black people are mad that Cosby is locked up for his sexual assault allegations, and these crackers keep getting away with sexual assault, murder, and all these other things that they are doing and not getting any time, like the little white boy who they say he had affluenza, so they wouldn't put him in jail. But you got all these Trump, Kavanaugh, all these other white folk, Charlie Sheen, who have, you know, sexual assault allegations, sexual assault cases, even white people who've been caught raping people, all these things. Now, I'm in a school of thought of, I think every sexual predator should be locked up, male, female, like all these things. So I think they all need to be locked up. I don't like the fact that Cosby's getting locked up and the majority of the white folk not getting locked up, because like Larry Nassar was like, you know, he the one that slipped through the crack. But I do think black people need to stop saying that Cosby shouldn't be locked up and just say, hey, y'all need to lock these white folk up, because Cosby did what he did. He got caught. Cosby's locked up for admitting to drugging women to have sex with him. Because a lot of people are saying, well, what did Cosby admit to? What did he do? What did he admit to? Years back, Cosby admitted in the subpoena and all those things to drugging women to have sex. That's what he's getting locked up for. It's not for all the number of women who lied and all those things. It's not that. He's getting locked up for the for what he admitted to, drugging women to have sex with them. Now, with that being said, all those women who lied, I think they should get some time. Like, it's a whole lot of things that's wrong with this, but at the same time, that's why we as black folk, we got to watch what we do, how we do, when we do. The fact that Buddy had drugs to give to women to have sex is fucked up. That's not okay. Now, knowing what type of system you live in, what type of country you live in, because we can't say Cosby didn't know, because Cosby was always quick to call black people out on things that he didn't think black people should be doing, and in the manner of all those things there. And then Cosby's always like, don't blame the white people for this, and that, and that, and that, all those things there. So, you know, some of the things that he said and put out the energies come back to bite him. And from somebody who Cosby is my favorite comedian of all time, he fucked up. He fucked up, but I don't think it's cool that he's the only one getting jail time while all these white boys is excuses for them. You got motherfuckers like Weinstein who's still out here. Like, Weinstein had a clause in his contract that said, if you sign to be on with this movie with me, then I can legally sexually assault you. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing with the Cosby thing was, you know, there are two components. One, there's the moral side. The moral side is Bill Cosby is a sexual predator. Now, did he do something to all of these women? No. I don't believe
it. Right, he did. No.
But did he do something to at least one of them?
Yeah.
Probably. That means, in light of what he got, 3 to 10, I really don't have an argument. Like, Bill Cosby ain't the hill I want to die on.
Right.
And even to those that would say, yeah, but did he do it to this woman? This woman, that woman, any woman, to me, you did it. Now, I understand people making the legal argument of saying, well, if they can get you just because you did something on anybody based on lies and blah, 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 then, you know, we all target. To which, you know, I do understand that argument. But on the same sentence, I ain't never sexually harassed or molested nobody, so they can't get me on that without outright lying. But more to the point, the real thing that people have been harping on is that they unsealed his records. They unsealed his testimony.
Yeah.
So for me, the unsealing of the testimony, when you look into it, there were a couple things that go into it. One, the records were sealed, and the records are typically only sealed for 2 years after the lawyers from both sides, or the records are sealed so that the lawyers from both sides can gather evidence. Once evidence is gained and an agreement is reached, the record is only sealed for an additional 2 years, but it was forgotten. So we're talking about the seal technically expiring in 2009 or 2010.
Yeah.
So the someone from the Associated Press sent out, after the allegation started, sent the request to the courthouse to unseal the records. And the courthouse agreed because there was no reason to keep the records sealed. Now, this is not an issue when you understand that the seal was temporary to begin with. But there's
right.
been a lot of people saying that it was sealed. Sealed records are sealed records. There's a difference between permanently sealed records and temporarily sealed records. To another point, this is where we get into understanding the law. And this is something I understood going in. When you open your mouth, especially when you have an audience, and you begin speaking on matters of public policy, legally speaking, you become viewed as a public moralist or a public servant. The public gains the right, based off of the things you're saying with regard to public policy, the public gains the right to scrutinize your history legally. So even the cases that lawyers would make about infringing on his privacy, embarrassing him, all of those things get thrown out because he's viewed as a public servant, because he's been making statements about public policy.
So you don't have privacy when you've been making statements about public policy. Now we get a chance to look at your shit to make sure that you align with what you're actually saying. And then in theory, that's great, because we all want to be able to dig into people that are talking. We want to be able to dig into what they said to make sure that they're congruent. It didn't work out for Bill Cosby, though. So that's how the records got unsealed. Now, do I think he got the shaft and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I do think they were out to get him. I think it's a crying shame that he's the only person that's been locked up.
Yeah, but he didn't help himself.
That's because he's the only person to get locked up.
But right, that's the bullshit.
What you said earlier. The issue is not that Bill Cosby's locked up. The issue is that all these white motherfuckers are still free. That's right. What we should be like. Keep that same energy. At this point, you can't defend, and I don't think you should defend Bill Cosby, because there have been people coming out about Bill Cosby for a while now. Like, it's not like this shit just happened. There have been black comedians making jokes and talking about Bill Cosby raping people for a while. The Hannibal Buress skit that sparked all of this, Hannibal Buress himself said he had been doing that skit for years. And everybody just laughed at it. Nobody had ever really. And even to that, the whole he was trying to buy NBC thing, that was back in the mid-90s. If you were going to dethrone a black man to bring him down and give him his Negro
wedding, that would have been the time to do it in the mid-90s.
Right. You would do it at the height of his influence, which in Bill Cosby's case was in the early 90s. He tried to buy NBC in 1992. Why would you wait until 2015, 2016 to try to take him down? That don't even make sense. So in that, you know, I just want us, Bill Cosby to me provides us an opportunity to hone up on, to brush up on our research skills and make sure that we really understand what's going on and we're not just buying into conspiracies and propaganda and this, that, and the third. But with all that being said, you know, I think it's a tragedy. It's a travesty what's going on. Harvey Weinstein still's free. You go down the list of all these white dudes, they all free, and a lot of them are still working.
It's what white people do, and we have to understand that and see why Cosby didn't help himself.
He did not.
Because if you think white people not going to go out of their way to protect their own, that's what they do. That's what they do. That's why these crackers ain't locked up when they as it should be. Look, I've been saying it forever. A part of white European culture is rape, sexual assault, domestic violence. That's one of the key ingredients that they bring to the table. Look at their history. White men have never liked their women. They only use their women as vessels to continue the future generations. That's it. So get off this crap that they are supposed to lock their people up. In a perfect world, in a legal world, in a moral world, them crackers would be under the jail. But because you got sexual predators who we're expecting to lock up other sexual predators, that ain't gonna happen no time soon. Unless the pressure gets put on, and we have to get past complaining and be strategic and organized to put something through to better help ourselves and help those causes rather than just complaining, because complaining ain't gonna help nothing.
No, and the present racism is there because you see, on the one hand, you got Bill Cosby, a white woman's word was enough to strip him of his legacy and lock him up. Yeah. And then you go to Brett Kavanaugh, a white woman's word didn't have any impact on the ascension.
He still got the job. He got the job. And this granted, motherfucker got the job. Trump got the job. Remember, sexual assault didn't stop Trump.
And remember, Trump and Kavanaugh, these weren't even criminal investigations. These were fucking job interviews.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby was facing criminal charges. So by nature, we should have been a lot harsher on Cosby than we were on Kavanaugh and Trump. in terms of finding the facts. You want to find those facts. You want to scrutinize every detail when a man's life is at stake. When a man's career is at stake. Look, if I were to apply for a job tomorrow at fucking McDonald's and a news story came out of a woman alleging that I sexually assaulted her, I would not get the fucking job.
At McDonald's.
It wouldn't even be no questions asked.
But this bitch got a job as a Supreme
right.
Court judge. And he a fucking sexual predator. The motherfucker, this shit is right. Crazy, man. How long I've been saying, Pat, how long we've been doing this podcast and I've been saying this shit about sexual assault in the culture, man. That's part of the culture.
It is. You look at Trump, admitted it. They got Trump on tape. But Trump is a special kind of dude because he honestly believes he's smarter than everybody. Because Trump has actually been walking around talking about the tape wasn't even me. Motherfucker, we know what you sound like.
You sound like R. Kelly now. Like we didn't know that shoot.
So, but to me, the Bill Cosby and the Kavanaugh, they both allow us to have a larger discussion about sexual assault and rape culture. But it's a discussion we're not willing to have. And amongst us in the black community, it's a conversation we really need to have because so many of us have been sexually assaulted, so both men and women. I have yet to meet a black woman that has not been sexually assaulted. I have yet to meet a single one that has never in her entire life been sexually assaulted.
In some way.
Right. Some way, shape, form, or fashion. We're not just talking about rape. We're talking about inappropriately touched. We're talking about, feeling forced or obligated to do something. We're talking about inappropriate or unwanted comments. We're talking about them even to the point of having to fight somebody off so that they aren't raped. All of these things. I've yet to meet a single woman, a black woman, I've met a few white ones. I've yet to meet a single black woman that has not had that experience. We in the community need to be having that conversation. What's really pissing me off about this Bill Cosby thing is that so many people are so caught up in defending Bill Cosby from white supremacy that they don't realize that they're missing the opportunity to have the conversation about rape culture. Fuck Bill Cosby. He did this shit to himself. And prior to all of this happening, y'all didn't even like Bill Cosby.
Right. Bill Cosby was doing his best to talk down on us and seemed like he was trying to get white approval. So, and remember, I keep saying, Buddy is my favorite comedian of all time. But at the end of the day, right is right and wrong is wrong. And I'm not no dick riding fan like a lot of people are. So if you fucked up, you fucked up. And Cosby fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked up. He knew he was fucking. Look, you can only get away with fucking around with white women for so long before that shit come back to bite you in the ass. And it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Look, you're not them. And that's for all of these super successful, rich black guys out there. You're still black. And at the end of the day, race trumps sex and race trumps class. Being black is more significant to your life than the amount of money you have and what gender you are. That's just what it is. White women make more than black men. That's what it is. So, people got to stop getting our segment. Look, you're black. You're black first. Your race matters in America, and it matters more than anything else. So, but in terms of that, when it comes to Kavanaugh, we need to get more politically active. That's the solution. We need to get more engaged. When it comes to Bill Cosby, we need to have a conversation, a full, total conversation about rape culture and sexual predation that allows us as a community to solve these issues internally. Damn what's going on outside of the community. We in the black community have an issue with sexual predation amongst both men and women. Because I've met fairly large amount of boys that have been sexually assaulted as well.
Look, I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, I'm going to say this again. Look, When we talk about sexual violence and things, especially sexual violence, we have to, in the black community, we have to stop talking about it as if black women are the only ones who experience sexual violence. And we have to stop talking about just terror and all those things, oppression. We have to stop talking about it in a way where it's just black women. Because it's almost seen as if black men have been on vacation while black men, women have been terrorized. And it's like, that's not true. That's the farthest from the truth. Black men have been right there next to black women being terrorized. So we have to be able to talk about it from both sides. Yes, black men are men. And in general, we believe that because we are men, then we have access to male privilege. But that's not true. Black men don't have no male privilege. We black men. So it's not to say that our black women aren't under attack. It's not to say that our black women aren't vulnerable and all those things there. And I do believe it's some of our fault that our black women are vulnerable. Not totally, but some of our fault that our black women are vulnerable. But like you're saying, backing up what you're saying, we have to start looking at it from both sides. Black women and black men are victims of sexual violence. And we have to be able to look at that.
Yeah, we have. I'll say this. Black men don't have the kind of privilege that white men do. And the problem I have with gender-based privilege within the community is that far too many people, when they hear male privilege, they
think of all males.
Right. They automatically think that black men have the same privileges that white men do. And that's not true. White females have more privileges and more protections than black men do. So, and that's right. Where I go back again to, we got to understand that race trumps gender, class, and sexual preference. It does. You know, we can talk intersectionality all day. But the name of the city that all these roads is crossing in is determined by your race. So, you know, we got to get back to that. Black women have been under attack. They have been brutalized. Black men have been under attack. They have been brutalized. The moment we start thinking that somebody has it, like, I don't understand this game of biggest victim. I don't want to be a fucking victim. I want us to both be on top. I'm not competing with you as a woman to see who's had it hardest. That's a game to know. That's a race to no fucking where. You want to say you had it hardest? Great. You can have the trophy, baby. Now let's get moving. I'm not finna compete with you, but I will say this. I share my story, or a part of my story, on my Tuesday podcast on rape culture, where I talked about my incident growing up. And I've had 5 incidences. I talked about 2 of them on my show. I've had more than a few women come out and say they couldn't listen to it all and they were surprised that it happened to me. I've also had a few women that have blocked me and a few women that have messaged me and told me I was full of shit and I was trying to co-opt the Me Too movement.
They really told you that?
We need to be able to have these conversations.
Hold on. Time out. You can't just say that with me on this line, and I don't have no response for that. Hold on. Some women told you that you was full of shit, that you was trying to co-opt the Me Too movement.
Yeah. That's when I was in our line group, and I was like, is there a way that you can show messages that you can't see anymore? Because I got this message. And PC was like, she probably blocked you, to which I was like, oh, shit, that's probably true. Well, if she ever unblocked me, I'm going to snap a picture of it and I'm going to keep it because I wanted to share it with you guys. But I got a message and I could only see the little temporary snippet of it. But it said, you know, basically what happened to you, you're lying about what happened to you. And you're trying to co-opt a movement by women.
Well, first of all, the Me Too movement is a black women's movement that was co-opted by white women.
Right.
Years later, first of all. Second of all, comments like that from dumbass women are the reason why sexual assault, sexual violence still happens. Because if you are a real true person who's about stopping violence, because she's on this I need to win idea, like women need to win, so this is our victory. You can't take our victory from us, as if black, like I keep telling I keep telling, like, I was having a conversation with one of the registered nurses at the job the other day, and we was talking about homosexuality and how it has been, and how people, homosexuals, have played a part in the oppression of black people. And God, because I was like, think about it. Who was breaking the bucks in the butt-breaking forms in slavery? Think about it. They had butt-breaking forms where they would take the strong men and rape them until they give in. Well, who was doing that? Men. White men. Black men have been victims of sexual assault just as long as black women have been victims of sexual assault, especially at the hands of white people. Nobody's denying that black women have it the roughest out of all the women. I'm not the person going to say black women have it rougher than black men, because I don't think one sex has it rougher than another. I think black people got it fucked up, period.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like we have to. And what the lady told you, she was black?
I'm not even sure. It looked like a white picture, but like I said, I only glanced at it when I tried to open it up. It was gone.
And she a coward.
Going well.
So. She a coward ass female too. Cause if she was real, she would have stood behind her shit hole soft ass.
Well, that's what got me mad. Even in the chat, it wasn't that she said what she said. I fully expected some woman somewhere to lash out, because I understand it's an emotional time, and the way the conversation is right now, we're only talking about women as victims. So the idea that a man or a little boy could be a victim, even with what happened in the Catholic Church. So even when you do have boys that do come out as victims, the perpetrators are still men. But my story, the perpetrators were a group of teenage girls. So that's a completely different narrative. And not
good motherfucker, you got to live with that shit. I mean, not you, but she has to. Like, you can't come out and tell somebody that they lying because you don't feel comfortable with women being perpetrators. Fuck you.
But the thing is, and I was talking to a social worker the other day, and she was telling me that in her time as a social worker, she's seen just as many cases of young boys being molested as girls. And far too many of the cases than she cares to acknowledge, and that's the word she used, far too many of the cases than I even care to acknowledge, these boys were sexually assaulted by women. She did say now in the majority of the cases, they were assaulted by men. But the image, what I got out of it, the implied message was, it wasn't so lopsided and disproportionate that she could say that women being sexually aggressive were one-offs. Like, they seem to be happening at a pretty decent clip, maybe at a 60-40 or a 70-30 rate. So, but that to me, and in the show, and if you haven't heard it, go back, Lessons from the Screen, listen to that show on rape culture. I try to paint this picture of how our view of each other colors what we think. And what, like, if you view a man as a sex-crazed dog that just wants to fuck something, then in your mind as a woman, fucking a man can never be sexual assault because he wants it. And if he don't want it, he gay. So even if he's telling you no, even if he's saying he don't like it, it's not sexual assault because that's what he wants. That's what you think he wants. And that transfers down to the little kids as well. When girls, especially teenage girls, all they hear about is how every dude just want to get in their pants. And then they're dealing with a little boy that they can overpower because they're that much older than him. And he's screaming, he don't want it, get off of me, and you holding him down. In your mind, you're not registering that as sexual assault. And that's just the way we've been groomed. And it's the same way when you talk about men. A lot of these dudes, when a woman say no, they take that as a challenge to test their mouthpiece. Well, let me see if I can convince her to turn this no to a yes. Let me, you know, so we got a lot of issues with sexual assault, rape culture and whatnot that stems from how we perceive each other, but we can't have that conversation. if we're only talking about it from one angle. And again, the only reason the comment that the lady made pissed me off was because she didn't even give me a chance to read her comment and respond. Like, why send a motherfucker some shit and then block me so that I can't even respond it? And why, what, were you just sitting at your computer waiting for it to say message seen so that you could block me as soon as that? Like, what the fuck is going on? So, you
man,
know, at least be
whoever that lady is, she full of shit. That lady full of shit anyway. She ain't serious about shit in life, oh, so fast. Won't even stand behind her comment. Look, man. you can't. Though the people who are so one-sided and so, like, their tunnel vision, because they're in this, we're women and we need to win. Like, that's not how you stop sexual assault and sexual violence. Like, we trash men for thinking like that. Ain't no way in hell we gonna let women get away with thinking about that either, because we equal across the board. We equal opportunity offenders over here at the Freedom Train. We talk about everybody equally, goddamn it, especially if you fucking up. That's crazy, man. I'm sorry you had to even experience that with that dumbass lady. I should get my auntie on her ass.
It's cool. It was expected. I mean, I do wish she would have left her comment around long enough for me to see it, and at least, you know, because I don't even know if it was a white lady or a black lady.
Whoever she is, she's soft as fuck.
So, but it's cool. You know what I'm saying? My story's out there. I fully expect there to be women that are, you know, and I understand it. You're in an emotional place. The conversation has been geared one way, and then here comes this other narrative. The natural inclination for most people who are in an emotional space is to reject, and reject strongly. That's natural inclination. So I get it. But I will say this. For those of you that do choose to go and listen to it, and your first instinct is to reject it, if you choose to hit me up, at least be bold enough to stand behind what you say.
Right. But why are you trying to tell somebody who you don't know whether their experience is right or wrong? It's true or false. Are you that fucked up in your life? Well, you really sitting there, nah, man, he lying. He lying. Really? How do you know? How do you know? You don't, because on one hand, you can't talk about creating a culture that makes it easier for people to come out and tell their stories, but then when somebody tell their story, because you got a problem with it, they wrong. Fuck you. Fake-ass activist, man. You know, that's one of my pet peeves, fake-ass activists that we got, because they make things worse rather than better.
That's true.
And speaking of fake ass activists, Kanye West, there, get back on his ass, fake ass activist. That boy's stupid, man. And that, like, people, the only reason I'm saying we're going to have another topic so we can crack on him for one, but for two, black people, stop gravitating to this stupid motherfucker. Kanye is stupid. Stop gravitating toward him. Stop reacting to things he said. Like, I was on Facebook, and this lady was like, the only reason she's sharing this is because she wanted to have a conversation with her son about how not to gravitate toward people like Kanye. And I'm like, lady, you have to. So you're tired of Kanye, but you keep entertaining him so your son can know not to listen to people like Kanye. Why don't you surround your son with smart people instead of wasting your damn time? It's like, I'm going to introduce my son. I don't want my son to smoke crack, but I'm going to keep making my son smoke crack so when he get older, he'll know not to smoke crack, even though I keep shoving crack in his face. Like, that don't even make sense. If you're tired of him, ignore him. Kanye needs us. We don't need him. Like, I don't have to buy his fucking music. I don't have to buy them trash-ass clothes he be making. You don't either. We don't owe Kanye anything. He owes us. He needs us. And if we decide to say, fuck you, his career is over. What part of that do you dumbasses not understand?
Man, Kanye has been bothering me for a while now. And I say that, I was never a huge fan of Kanye the man, but I did like College Dropout and Late Registration.
They were two good albums. Like, look, man, we ain't no haters over here. College Dropout and Late Registration, two fire ass classic albums.
Right. So I want to make that point. I was never a fan of the man, Kanye West. But I did like College Dropout and Late Registration. And with those two albums, I felt like, you know, it's cool not to like him. The dude is still nice with this music shit. So.
Not no more.
When the music fell off, you know, all that was left for me was fuck Kanye. And that's kind of where I've been ever since. So, you know, even with all of the people talking about he's so deep, he said, look, to me, Kanye was never that deep. To me, Kanye was never nothing but an updated version of P. Diddy when it came to the music, because he would sample the shit out of other people's music. That's fine. And I understand there's a skill to sampling, not trying to take nothing away. But all this talk about how Kanye is a genius and this, that, and the third, I think that gets in the way of people being able to accurately look at a motherfucker for what he is. Kanye is retarded, has been retarded, always will be retarded. The dude is looking for acceptance from a class of people that's never going to accept him. And he always has been and always will be.
He want white. It boils down to he want white people and the majority of... He want people to like him, but especially white people. He wants the public acceptance. He want people to pat him on the back and say, Kanye, you are the greatest. Fuck you, Kanye.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it. To me, Kanye, the deeper he digs to try to prove that he's an intellectual, in my opinion, the stupider he shows he really is. The well ain't that deep for you, Kanye. You ain't got a lot of water under there. Stop digging,
man,
bro.
When you talk about free thinking and all these things, like, brother, when you gonna start fucking thinking, period? Period. Like, for all your people who talking about he's deep, that just show how stupid you all are. The dude has admitted that he has no idea what the fuck he's talking about. He has no ground, no basis, and no information to really support none of the shit he's talking about. You hear him say, love, we just need love. Once again, going back to why do we keep asking oppressed people to love their oppressors? Why? Kanye West is a dumbass. And any of your wall who really believe in him and what he says and the things that he says and thinks he's deep, something is wrong with you. You need a hug. You need to go back to your parents' house, probably move in for like a year or two, get your mind right, then come back out in the real world, because you're not really prepared to be an adult if you're going to let this baby-ass dude, Kanye a fucking child, he's a childish dude, his whole MO is to be accepted by everybody. Everybody has to love Kanye, and if not, I'm going to make you love me. Fuck you, Kanye. How about
dude
that?
Is an egotistical, narcissistic idiot. And because he made good music at one point in his career, everybody fell on board this genius train that he should have never been on in the first place. And now we got the monster we got. I mean... And I mean, there ain't no other way to put it. Another thing, people like Kanye West in the sunken place. No, he not. Kanye West in the same place he always been. It was just easier to ignore when he was making good music.
Right.
Kanye West has not changed. And that's the part I need to get people to understand. If you go back and look at Kanye West, this is the same Kanye West we've always seen. The only problem is now, he's being influenced by people who disagree with you. Previously,
right, he's being influenced by white
people that agree with you.
He's being influenced by white conservatives.
So, you know, he's trying to. You can free think all you want, Kanye, but you can't even adequately explain your own ideas, which is why there's so much confusion around what you're trying to say. Which means you ain't really thinking about what you're trying to say.
Man, but I keep telling people, like, stop looking at these entertainers and athletes as our intellectual leaders. Like, as everybody know, I'm a T.I. fan. T.I. one of my top five, top seven rappers of all time. But you know, you got T.I. and Kanye out here talking about abolishing the 13th Amendment because they want prison reform. That show how dumb y'all boys are when it comes to politics. So we're gonna make slavery legal to dismantle slavery in prison. What? Man, what? Man, Pat,
Wait, did you hear what I just said? They were Kanye and T.I. talking about abolishing the 13th Amendment. Like, it's legit that worked with me. And you know, I keep up on all the legit crazy stuff, but it was like they're talking about abolishing the 13th Amendment because they want prison reform. They are unhappy with prison being the modern day form of slavery. So if you abolish the 13th Amendment, you won't have no more prison slavery, but then you make slavery legal.
Yeah, that's what we call
my bad. I had to let Kawhi Leonard laugh on that one. My bad.
That's definitely what we call thinking without the art of thinking without thinking, because that's extremely. You know what? I'm gonna say this, and I know this is gonna be disagreeable to a lot of people, but in America, we got to figure out what we want to do. Are we gonna be a rehabilitation penal system, or are we going to be a punishment penal system? Right now, we're in the punishment model while flirting with the rehabilitation model. But we're in the punishment model. If you're in the punishment model of dealing with prisoners using negative reinforcement to prevent people from committing crimes, I don't see anything wrong in that model with slavery being legal for those people. Now, that being said, let me say this. Our problem at that point is not what happens to the prisoners once they get in prison. You want humane treatment, of course. You do. You want them to be treated like human beings. But there's nothing, if you're in prison, there's nothing wrong, and when I say slavery, this is what I mean. There's nothing wrong with you being forced to work without getting paid. You're in prison. I don't see anything wrong with that aspect of it if we're dealing with the punishment model. Now, our issue with prison has to be the fact that so many of us end up in there unjustly. We got to start fighting the fight to keep our people from going to prison. But we got to figure out which prison model we're going to support.
Man, black people ain't even think about that.
Rehabilitation based. When it suits you, and punishment based when it doesn't. All of these people that are saying prison is slavery, and I get it, I'm not disputing anybody, but the moment something happens that they disagree with, they want a motherfucker thrown under the jail. That's
right.
Not the way this shit works.
Right.
You gotta be one way all the time. Now, to prisoners, I'm gonna reiterate this because I know people will hear this show and misunderstand me. Should prisoners be humanely treated? Of course they should. They're still human beings after all. Should they be fed? Yes. Should they be offered opportunities for free time? Sure. Should they be given opportunities to better themselves? Of course. Should they be paid for their labor? And should they have a choice as to what that labor is? That's where you get into the nuances of, you are in prison. You did do
You do have to pay a punishment for a crime you did, and
right.
You can't just get free resources. So they got to give somewhere.
Right. So that's where I'm like, I honestly think this whole conversation about slavery being legal in prison, people are kind of not having that conversation as deeply as they need to. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to finish what you're saying.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I mean, because if the argument is humane treatment versus what they would consider enslavement or people not being paid for their labor, like you're saying, no prisoners should be inhumanely treated. But when we're talking about you being compensated for your labor, I think now, like you said, they go into the nuances that what did you do, how did you do it, how much time, all these things here. Because, like, if you in there for murder or rape or something, like, I mean, you got to give me them 15 for free. I'm sorry. But then, once again, now, that even me saying that opens up more of Pandora's box, because it's like everybody's going to harp on the ones that they think is more harsh than others. But at the same time, when it comes down to, oh, this personally affects you, it personally affects you, personally affects you, that's when you get into the nuances. Like you said, so you have to think deep into this stuff before you go out and say it. But the problem with people like Kanye West and T.I. saying is, look at the people who follow them. Look at the stands that they have. Look at the brainless zombies who follow celebrities, period.
Yeah, because saying that we need to abolish the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, Donald Trump has also put forth the notion that he wanted to abolish the 14th Amendment. Abolishing any of those amendments, 13th, 14th, all 15th,
it's going to hurt us
backward for black people.
Well, see, that's what I was telling the JIT, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, JIT, like, man, you know, Kanye West and T.I. talking about abolishing 13th. I agree with him. I'm like, why? I'm like, so he used the thing, well, because the slavery in prison. So, but that was my question. So you were saying slavery should be legal again? He never thought about that. He never thought about that.
Right, but
he never thought about what the 13th Amendment was. Never thought about it.
And that's why I'd be like, look, why don't you go and research, just read. The Constitution is not that long. It's not. It's about 4,000 words. The amendments are not that long. You can read the Constitution and all the amendments in one sitting in one day. It's not that long. Go and read them. Read them. That's where you got all these people running around talking about the Dred Scott decision was never overturned. Yes, it was. Go and read the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment gave us citizenship, equal citizenship under the law, and it gave us equal protections under the law. That was a direct response to the Dred Scott decision. Just read it. Now, we can say it's never been overturned as a part of judicial precedent. Some people could say that, but even that becomes debatable when you look at the way the court decided cases after the Dred Scott decision in favor of black people. So just go and read. People, like, I don't know, Joe, this shit gets so frustrating because the 14th, I've heard people talking about abolishing the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, and this is why even with my kids, we're starting to go over the Constitution now. Read the damn amendments, man, and even with this slavery shit, my argument has never been T.I. has a vested interest. He's an ex-con. He feels some type of way. Whatever.
T.I. should have did half the shit he did. I ain't trying to hear that shit from T.I., especially when he was a grown ass man.
Right. That's the other component. I'm not talking about the people that was wrongfully convicted. In this case, the conversation about the slavery in prison shouldn't even apply because they shouldn't even been convicted. That's a whole separate argument. But if you're in there because you did some shit, we got to define slavery. To me, the definition of slavery is being owned by another entity, not having the ability to self-actualize, to control yourself or your labor, and to be compensated for it. To me, that's the definition of slavery. When you get convicted of a crime, I don't have any innate problems with you losing the ability to self-actualize, to control your labor, and to get compensated for your labor. I don't have a problem with you losing those rights. I have a problem with you losing your status as a human. I have a problem with you being treated inhumanely, being abused, being oppressed, being not taken care of. But I don't have a problem with you being made to work for free. And you are a ward of the state. So you don't necessarily own yourself either. We're paying for your existence through our taxes. I know a lot of black people are going to feel some type of way about that. If you want to have a conversation about it, holler at me. I'm open to talk. I am not one of them dudes. We can have that conversation.
But
that's how I feel. If you can,
but that goes back to what we were saying earlier.
I'm fully capable of my mind being changed. I'll say that as well. If you bring great points that I never thought about, Joe, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to be like, you're right. You know what? I ain't never thought about that.
But it's still nuanced, though. That's
it's
your personal
nuanced.
Opinion. That's Patrick Irvin's personal opinion because, like I said earlier, some crimes are going to warrant harsher punishment than others, just like you get more time for certain crimes than others. So when it comes to certain things about getting paid and all those things, that it's nuanced. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it is hard. That's a great
I would say, looking at it from this side, if you're a black person, or if you're any person, but especially a black person, and you've been falsely charged or something like that, you should get compensated for the shit that you do. Especially if you and it can be proven that you've been falsely charged. You need to get reparations for everything you've done and all those
right.
And, like, nobody should be in there just not getting nothing. But certain crimes and things, we should be able to get that free labor box. Certain crimes, like especially like rape and murder, we should be able to go ahead and get that free labor box. I don't want to get nothing from you.
Violent, hardcore crimes, we need that.
Like, if you in there for drugs, like, if you were selling weed,
I'm a fan of all if you're non-violent crimes,
let them get their money.
Like, you shouldn't get full rate, but you should get something for your labor. That's non-violent, whatever. It should be decriminalized anyway. But if you know, I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you on that. I think that's a great idea, great approach.
But now I do want to go back and do say this about Kanye. It's that man's right. I mean, yeah, fuck him. But it is his right to support Trump. I don't have a problem with that. It's his right to be stupid. I don't have a problem with that. It's his right to support who he wants to support. Because I always say that you should support who you feel has your best interest. And just because we are the same color doesn't mean we have the same interest. So I don't have a problem with him, who he support or who he aligns stuff with. But when he's out here trying to convince others that his way is the way to be, that's when you like shut the fuck up, boy. But I'm starting to become less and less surprised at the people, because I'm learning that people being stupid, I'm just not learning this. Like, people being zombies, I'm just not learning this. I'm late to the game. I'm late to the tape. But it's always been like this. People have always, well, I'm not gonna say always, but people for a long time, people have been brainless, celebrity crazed people here in this country. And so it's like, When he says what he says, what does make it dangerous is people believe in him and believe in what he says and what he does. And so that's the dangerous part of everything that's going down with Kanye. But
I would push back not on what you're saying, but on your easing up on it. People have always been stupid. The individual, the person, can be reasoned with.
That's what I'm saying, though. People have always been. I'm just not learning, though. But people, I'm not letting up on them because motherfuckers are stupid.
You said maybe not always, and I'm like, well, people have always.
Well, I guess, and put some context to that. I was kind of thinking before, like, TV and stuff like that. But then you go think about, you know, the Roman amphitheaters and the Greek amphitheaters other stuff like that. People have always been followers because, you know, it's a tribe of people. So in a remote village who prayed to airplanes because airplanes dropped them rations and stuff. So
yeah, I mean it's a group of people in Indonesia that worship Donald Trump.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. They believe he is God.
So you know, you're 100% right when you say people have always been, and that actually I think it got worse with television, because at least prior to television, in order to be a fan, you had to read. So you had to develop a skill while you were becoming an idiot, you know, so you can become a kid. Like, I think back in the old days when you had to acquire your knowledge through communication and reading, even if you got to talk to somebody, you're still picking up social cues and you're learning emotional intelligence. When you got to engage skill sets to become an idiot, it kind of prevents how far down the idiot hole you can go. In this day and age, you can become as big an idiot as you want by watching TV. There is no skill involved in watching a YouTube video. So you can become so much more of an idiot nowadays than you could back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Google University and YouTube University, people believe that those are the best ways to learn. They are access to information, but not necessarily the best ways to learn. You still need to go read the whole fucking articles and things. Like, when I put together my own Souls of Giants, I'm mad if I can only find three sources. I want at least 4 or 5 sources. Hell, if I can get 6 to 8 sources, that'd be great. Cross reference. But I have to read all them shits too.
Yep. You ain't lied. You ain't said nothing wrong yet.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, before we close this thing out, I mean, a lot of people don't know, I probably haven't heard, but it was a earthquake earlier today in Haiti. That was a pretty devastating earthquake. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers and sending love and light and energy and all that out to the people in Haiti. I wish we were better organized so we can deploy people out there to help them, but, you know, we're working on that.
It's coming.
Yeah.
PAC is definitely working on that. We got some big things down the pipe. We ain't forgot about our community action team initiative. It's just been back burner because we ain't got the resources. But, you know, it's a lot of stuff coming, man. Y'all keep your heads up and your ear to the street. Or you can get the fuck involved and help it come faster, but you know.
Yeah, man, and people, stop being followers. Stop looking for a follower. Stop looking for a teacher. Stop looking for somebody to be that guiding light in your life and all these things. And there's so many like people out, just regular scammers and people out here who getting over on people because people are afraid to think for themselves. Stop looking for a leader. Like the movie Bruce Leroy and the Last Dragon. That movie is significant because Bruce Leroy was the whole movie searching for what was already inside of him. He was the master. That's what his teacher was trying to get him to understand. A true teacher is a guide to help you discover yourself, not somebody that you should follow for the rest of your damn life. Let me say that again. A true teacher is a guide to help you find yourself, not somebody who they expect you to depend on them for the rest of their life. So that's why Bruce Leroy's teacher cut him off so he can go develop as the master, which his teacher knew he had within himself. Bruce Leroy went through the whole movie searching for the master until he was getting his ass whooped by Shonuff, and he realized that he was the master. The master was inside of him the whole time. Stop wanting somebody to be your master. Stop wanting somebody to be your leader and fucking lead and find yourself. If you're around people who always make you cling to them for the information, that's because they have egos. They're not really trying to help you become the best that you are. So that's just my little 2 cents spill on all this that we talk about, man. You got any parting shots, Pat?
Power to the people.
Power to the Mickey Ficky people. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train podcast series, and we'll holler at y'all next week.